Welcome to Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut. The meditation entitled, What's Changed, is presented by the Reverend Michael Wu.
Our gospel reading for this morning comes from the gospel according to John. We're reading from the 13th chapter, the 31st through the 35th verses. Just by way of a little bit of background here, just kind of to set the context of where this takes place, this is kind of toward the end of the gospel story, but not at the very end. This is not the passion story. This may be considered part of the beginning of the passion. So what we have happening here now is just before our scripture lesson that we're reading today, Jesus predicts his betrayal, and he dismisses Judas from the rest of the group and tells him to go off. So the interesting thing about John is that the Johannine perspective of Judas was not so much that Judas was an evil person by nature, but he was part of God's plan. And Jesus knew that. And so he dismissed them and had them go off to do what he needed to do, and that is to betray Jesus. And then immediately after that, we have this reading. So now hear these words again from John chapter 13, verses, 31 through 35. Not a long reading here. And when he was gone, and that's talking about Judas, Jesus said, and he's talking to the rest of the disciples, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. God is glorified in him. God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. There ends our reading. May God add his blessings to our understanding of those words. So I appreciate the children staying in the staying with us here in the sanctuary for a little while. In fact, I won't hold them for the entire sermon, but I will use them to help me illustrate the first part of my sermon, though. Okay, and so to do that, I'm going to have to make sure I get all my mics working properly here. I am going to come down, and I'm going to use the microphone again. And am I on? I am on. Okay, thank you. So I'm just going to ask some questions of the kids here. So we're doing a little bit of a survey. So I have some questions that you have to go around and they have to answer for me. First of all, what school do you go to? And start in the back. Find out what school they go to.
Bunker Hill Elementary School.
Bunker Hill, okay. Oh, okay. Oh, I think a lot of the adults you're not going to get an answer out of. Oh, wow. All right. All right. And how about you? Okay, all right, so you notice that y'all are studying at different schools, or a lot of different schools here, right? Okay, second question for all the kids. What's your favorite subject in school? Oh, we got somebody who really wants to answer really quickly. Math, hard one, huh? Got a side. Oh, we have two mathematicians in the back, okay. Oh, three math, wow, all right.
Recess and lunch.
Ooh, okay, two, recess and lunch, that's me too, so two for that, okay, all right, so finally, this is really hard, but this is actually really easy. Favorite color?
Ooh.
Ooh, okay.
Purple, pink, and sky blue.
Oh, okay, so yellow, all right.
Rose gold.
Oh, silver, yeah.
Red, pink, and purple.
Okay, excellent. Okay, well, thank you very much for sharing. Okay, so what did you notice, though? Yes, Kara.
I noticed that we all go to different schools in a lot
of different ways. Yeah, okay. So you're all, yep, what else? Oh,
you also, some of us also like the same thing.
Yeah, and we do have some commonalities, exactly. Right, so we have things that we are different about and things that we are alike.
Some people like math, and some people don't. That doesn't matter. That's just their opinion, and math is good either
Okay, all right, okay. So how does that tie into our scripture lesson here? Let me explain to you. So Jesus was basically telling the disciples who had one common bond, and that was Jesus, because they were all together because of Jesus, that he was not going to be there for very long, okay? And because of that, Jesus knew that there would be a tendency that maybe the differences would suddenly come out and that everybody would have different opinions and different ways of doing things. So what does Jesus tell them that they have to do when he's gone? What's the thing? Does anybody remember the scripture lesson? Okay, but we're going to follow Jesus, but what else? What did he talk about how they're going to treat each other? Oh, okay. So basically, and I heard somebody else say it too, Jesus is what you've all summed up here is that we got to love each other. So, okay, so it's kind of like when your parents aren't around, you still have to love each other even though you're siblings, which we found very hard to do in my family, amongst my brothers and myself sometimes. But again, the first main point or main important point that Jesus makes in the scripture lesson is that we're all different, but we have to love each other even though we have those differences. So just to illustrate that before I then let you go away for a second, but is that you all probably have a different favorite candy also, right? Ooh, yeah. So if you had a different favorite candy, you want to go tell us what our candy favorites are? So you can all come up forward now together. So if you had all of these different varieties, which one would you pick? And you're going to find out that you're all different again. Ooh.
This is so hard.
See, this is the hardest part of the worship service here right now. Okay, so how many do we have here? We have 2, 4, 5 of you, and I have 2, 4, and there's 6. Okay, so if you had to pick one of these, which one would you pick? See, this is part of God's creation, is there's just so many different things, right, in God's creation. So there are things like there's regular M&Ms, there's peanut M&Ms, there's Swedish Fish, there's Sour Patch Kids, there are Skittles, there are Raisinets. Okay, let me guess, because it may have been 7 years, but I do remember one particular person liking one particular thing. I remember that you're a Swedish Fish person, right? Yeah, okay, so I got that one right. Okay, now, I literally just did your dedication, so you can't expect that I knew what kind of chocolate you liked or what kind of candy you liked, because you were just a baby when I was last here. What would you take?
M&Ms. My mom loves these.
Ooh.
And I love these.
Okay, all right. Skittles? Oh, a Skittles person. All right.
You know what? I prefer
Sour. Ooh, Sour Patch Kids. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, thank you for helping me out here. And just remember that we all may be different, but God calls us to love each other, even though you all like different candy. All right? All right. And I'll let you guys go, and you can come back during our last hymn. All right. Thank you, though, for helping me with the first point of the sermon.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. So thank you again. But this morning, as I was getting up this morning and trying to get ready to figure out what I was going to do in the worship service, see, some things don't change after 7 years. What I didn't realize is that I said my phone started having all these messages on what they call LinkedIn. For those of you who know what that is, that's like a professional thing where, and the next thing I realized is that everybody was congratulating me on a work anniversary. And it suddenly struck me that it was 7 years ago at this time of year when I left here as your pastor or interim pastor, and I was appointed to the Superior Court. And so this is a 7th year anniversary, and everybody was sending me these text messages or these messages saying, congratulations on your 7th year anniversary. So really the question is, what has changed in the 7 years since I was here? Well, in certain ways, some things just haven't changed. My emotional maturity has changed by about maybe 1 year, and I won't say whether that digressed or went ahead and became more mature, okay? I will admit that physically, okay, 7 years have passed, my body has probably aged 7 years, but there are certain things probably that just haven't changed. One of the things that hasn't changed, for example, is the fact that I love to read certain things. You might think that there's no big theological text or anything like that. No, no. What I like to read, believe it or not, and I still read it in hard print because I am a dinosaur and I'm not going to change for anything, is I still subscribe to Consumer Reports. Okay, I remember this because my dad got it. And when I grew up and moved out of the house, then I subscribed to Consumer Reports. And I continue to this day to get it. They allow, they offer it in digital version, et cetera. Are you kidding? I want the hard copy. So I get this every month and I read it. But this month, the latest version, unfortunately, has bad news on the front cover. 10 really risky foods right now. Ooh, very bad news, okay? Because part of the bad news is if you look at what's risky, at least for me, it's everything I eat, okay? So they say, don't eat deli meat. Okay, guess what I eat every day? I eat a sandwich every day at work, okay? Don't eat eggs. Oh, okay. Don't eat chicken. I'm on a low cholesterol diet. The doctor tells me not to eat red meat. What am I supposed to eat? Chicken is my primary meat that I eat. Don't eat lettuce. Okay, I'm supposed to cut back on my carbs because I'm pre-diabetic because they tell me all Asians are pre-diabetic and my A1C is creeping up. Well, what am I supposed to do? Cut out the carbs and I'm supposed to eat more vegetables, but the main staple is I eat a huge salad every day for lunch. But now they're telling me I shouldn't eat lettuce. Okay, so why am I sharing all this? Not to complain about my diet, but to basically say that something that hasn't changed throughout my life, unfortunately, no matter how I try to look at it, is there's always some kind of crazy situation going on where somebody is telling me that the world is caving in, okay? That the world is coming to an end. And again, unfortunately, I'm not going to say that our political climate is very, very healthy. But then on the other hand, I'm not sure it was very healthy when I was growing up either. Okay, if you ask my parents, the world was ending because these radical, stupid students who didn't appreciate anything that their parents had given them were out on college campuses protesting against the Vietnam War. Okay, I won't tell you what generation that was, but it was when I was going to college, unfortunately. Okay, there were other situations going on where everything was changing, music was changing, and to this day we'll remind you again that my mother told me that the world was going to come to an end because no one was listening to Lawrence Welk. And you couldn't understand a thing that the Beatles were saying because all they were doing was crying and you didn't understand any of their words. And that was where music was going. Society was going to go down in flames and the world was just going to come to an end. Well, really, the problem is that we're always looking at situations where there is change and we don't adapt well with change. Okay, and that's exactly where we find ourselves again this morning with the scripture lesson where Jesus is dealing with change. And we deal with the issue of change in Ecclesiastes, which basically says, suck it up, the world is always changing. Okay, there's going to be times for everything. So don't sit there and say that you only want the good times. Okay, Christians are not promised an eternal happiness here in this particular existence. And so it is that we have to deal with the reality that nothing has changed. And if nothing ever changes in our lives, what stable thing can we find? And that comes down to that one commandment Jesus has for his disciples. And that is that you need to love one another. And it's an interesting command because that oftentimes is the corollary to the command to love your neighbor. But Jesus is speaking to the 11 right now. Okay, so these are the 11 who are closest to him. These are like the siblings. But as I was trying to tell the kids, Jesus realized that they were all different. And kind of like a parent who basically says, okay, I'm on my dying deathbed now. Please just keep the peace, love one another. Jesus basically says to them, okay, I'm not going to be around here very long. Okay, I'm going somewhere where you're not going to be able to come right now. You've got to do one thing for me. You got to love one another. And that's an interesting comment because, again, oftentimes we say, oh, no, no, that's the easy part. We're blood. We all think alike. We're part of the same church, et cetera. Well, oftentimes those are the first people that you pick on and the first people when things get tough that you strike out against. And so Jesus makes the very poignant point in his scripture passage, in the scripture passage, that the first people that we have to take care of are the ones who are closest to us. Okay, unfortunately, what... It's not something I'm really proud of, but something I've been assigned to for the last 3 years or two plus years in Hartford is I handle the domestic violence docket, okay? And I wish I could tell you that people knew how to treat each other well, but they call it intimate partner violence. And The latest statistics are that we have 3,000 new cases a year coming through. That's just, and I don't even have all of Hartford County. That's just my docket. On any given day, I've got 4,500 cases pending. Okay. I wish I had the ability to take what Jesus said and to get everybody who comes before me to understand that. But the point being is that unless we're healthy ourselves as a family, you can't go out into the world and then do God's work. So putting it very, very bluntly, message number two from Jesus in this morning's scripture lesson is, and I don't mean to be crass because I love firefighters, but dead firefighters don't do very good rescues. Okay, so to a certain extent, you got to start by building internally and building the strength and becoming united and loving one another. And love means forgiving each other. And realizing that in the same way that we were asked to pray for the Catholics today, not only Catholics, but for all people, so it is that within Christianity, there are so many flavors and brands and types of Christianity that Christians, whether they want to admit it or not, are oftentimes competing and fighting with each other. And we are going against exactly what Jesus told us to not do. And that is we are not loving each other. But we have to find common ground through our faith in Jesus Christ to find enough strength in ourselves to then go out and become Jesus' ambassadors to then deal with the ills that we face in the world. But finally, what I really want to say as the third point of our scripture lesson, the scripture lesson brings home to us today is because the world isn't changing, it's always going to be the same. There's always going to be a crisis and the need for intervention of God's grace in the world because we need to figure out how to first love ourselves. We also need to remember that we should never become so discouraged that the world is in such a bad situation that we give up. Because the day we give up and we say that we cannot change, that there's no good that's going to come, you've just given up on God. Okay? And so it is that no matter how bad things get, whether it's in your personal life, whether it's in the world, whether it's politically, whether it's on the national level, on an international level, we cannot give up the faith. We have to, again, place our faith and trust in God to understand that no matter what's going on, there is a purpose for it. I have a rather peculiar theology that irritates a lot of people, but I actually believe that no matter what bad thing is happening, God still had God's hand in it. Kind of a little bit like a Methodist who believe sometimes in predestination. I'm not quite that far, but really what it means is that in everything, even though we perceive it as bad, sometimes God's got a purpose. I think sometimes God does wake-up calls. We may not like the way we get thrown out of bed in the morning, but God oftentimes speaks to us in ways that have to shock us because we become so complacent or set in our own ways that God can't get our attention any other way. So that as we look at the world and we think that everything is disintegrating, I think that oftentimes we have to realize that there's a message from God to be had in this. And maybe God's calling us or giving us a reason to finally join together and be God's people as one and unite together to do things that can't be done when we're bickering and fighting with each other all the time. But again, I know this is oftentimes a challenging time to be living, but again, just as I said, my parents thought it was incredibly challenging in the 60s and 70s. They thought that our generation was going to ruin the world. And well, mom and dad, we're still here. Okay. But here I sit this day, and I can tell you people my age sitting around at lunch, et cetera, they think this younger generation, they're just ruining everything. And then I sit there and say to myself, oh my God, we are turning into our parents. We're being exactly what we said we would never be. But it is, it's very cyclical. It just keeps going round and around. And the point being I'm trying to make here is no matter what, God is always there. So please don't give up hope. Don't give up faith. Just trust that God is somehow, some way, leading us in a new direction to do God's will here in the world. Let us join together in a word of prayer. Lord God, unfortunately, 7 years may have passed since I was here in this pulpit, but not a lot has changed. But in certain ways, that's not a bad thing, O Lord, because what you're trying to tell us is that no matter what happens, you're still there and we'll still all be here as your people. Remind us, O Lord, that the fundamental, most important instruction that Jesus gave to his disciples before his departure from his earthly life was that we have to learn to love each other. that truly, O Lord, that we all, although we are all different, although we see things in different ways, although we have different preferences in different walks of life, that truly we must find faith and strength and togetherness through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so it is again, O Lord, that we pray that you will unite us, you will bless us, and you will keep us, that you will give us faith that no matter what is happening in our personal lives, with our health, with our families, whatever is going on in our cities, states, our country, in the world as a whole, that truly you are moving, your spirit is moving amongst us, and that truly, ultimately, your will be done. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
You have heard Moments of Meditation from the First Baptist Church of Plymouth, Connecticut. The meditation entitled, What's Changed, was presented by the Reverend Michael Wu. For more information, call the church office at 860-283-6181 or email the church at fbcp24@gmail.com. We wish you blessings on your day.